The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So good morning, good day, and I realize I'm beginning to go over time with both the meditation and also the short talk. I plan to get back on track, but maybe it's a little bit the nature of the topic this week. Appreciative joy. And so mudita, the Pali word, the Indian word for what often in English is called appreciative joy or sympathetic joy, and I like to call it this week rejoicing. It's kind of more energetic and more full experience to rejoice than just appreciate. It seems like sometimes a little bit of a small word compared to rejoicing. And in my vocabulary, rejoicing is something almost embodied, whereas appreciating or is a, more of a cognitive thing to just appreciate. And so it's a meditation practice in Buddhism. And as a meditation practice, it has a lot of benefits. And one of them is that it helps to dissolve, soften, maybe get rid of the feelings we have of discontent, jealousy, envy, kind of a discontent at the success and well-being of others. And of course, it's very odd to say that we could have discontent at the joy of others. But for some people, jealousy and envy is a very big part of their lives. And maybe for many different reasons. Sometimes maybe there's historical reasons why that's been cultivated or developed in us. And or sometimes there's fear to really acknowledge the well-being of others. Or there's a comparison to ourselves, and we're discontent because, you know, if I really admit and celebrate the success of someone else, that kind of implies that my lack of success, that I'm kind of, you know, not really a, you know, a good person somehow, or, you know, it's a reflection on me that someone else is doing well and I'm being left behind by life and the world or something. And these kinds of thoughts and ideas that stand in the way of feeling just genuine, real appreciation, real delight and gladness and in seeing the gladness, seeing the joy and well-being of others is a hindrance. It keeps us limited and keeps the heart from really opening up to be present for this life in a full way. And as I said, I've been saying that part of the function of this ideal of appreciative joy, rejoicing, is not to obligate us to feel that way, but to help us to use that as a reference point, to notice how we're still closed, to notice what keeps us in the way of opening the heart in a full and honest way. And so what we do is then we discover that discontent, that's kind of the word in the Pali text for the primary hindrance to this appreciative joy. So discontent, you know, can mean many things, but it's classically it's often associated with envy and jealousy and a certain kind of conceit. And the conceit, you know, that, oh, this says something about me, and maybe it says something bad about me. Conceit in Buddhism, not just thinking you're better than someone else, but also that somehow you're less than someone else or don't measure up to someone else. All this kind of concern with self-measurement and comparative thinking is a hindrance to really having the heart just open and relaxed and present. And this mindfulness practice is to really a practice to really recognize what gets in the way of our open heart, our full presence to experience. And then the art of it is to notice what gets in the way, but then don't pile on more suffering, more judgments, more aversion to that, but learn how to breathe with it, open to it, learn how to hold it in the soft palms, the cupped hand of awareness, and learn to open up a little bit to that, to realize we can hold the challenges we have and the envy, the jealousy, the discontent we have in something of a wider field, a wider sense of embodiment or enheartenment or in-mindedment, that there's much more here that we can begin sensing and where when we learn how to be present in a non-reactive way without being swept up in our thoughts and judgments about it. Just kind of just there, allowing it to be there. And then beginning to open up and feeling whatever goodness is there. And maybe part of that goodness is the part of you that wants to help, the part of you that wants to, cares about yourself and wants to kind of be and supportive for who you are. And then for mindfulness practitioners to realize that one of the ways that we fulfill that desire to be helpful to ourselves is paradoxically not to do too much, except really hold our challenges in awareness. So something opens up, something reveals itself that has a lot of goodness and joy and well-being that's kind of beyond the edges of it in the rest of the body and somewhere else. And just the goodness of just having a practice. So we want to learn to recognize the hindrances to sympathetic joy. We also want to recognize, and what the tradition says, is recognize what's called the near enemy of it. And the near enemy is that which looks like this rejoicing, this mudita, but it's not really it. It's really another kind of way in which we're not really open up fully. And the tradition defines it as the gladness, the joy that is comes from, you have to listen to this carefully because it's, I think in our English, it's not going to come across maybe a little bit off, but that which comes with domestic life. And I think the domestic life, the word domestic life in the ancient language was really implying, it was a synonym for the joy that comes with some kind of attachment, sometimes clinging to something. And the primary one that's referred to here is something that's associated with sensual pleasure, attachment to sensual pleasure. And so if we can feel this joy in someone's engagement in sensual pleasure, wow, that was really good to get my fifth drink, alcoholic drink of the day. I'm so happy to have it. To feel joy in that person's happiness in having five drinks before noon, you know, that's not really, it's kind of sad. And so, you know, to have joy in that kind of pleasure in someone has is not really so helpful or supportive even for a deeper process. Something like that. But I've seen that here in the United States, among practitioners of mudita, the focusing on the near enemy mudita is often something a little different, and that is giddiness. So to feel joy and delight in what's happening, but to get kind of giddy about it. And giddy, I think what it means is to be a little bit clinging to something and a little bit self-conscious and a little bit of conceit, a little bit of over-involvement with the joy. So it kind of feels a little bit off. It's like there's this energy, there's a little bit of hyper-energy involved, which is not really a settled and open, free flow of joy, but something that actually separates ourselves a little bit from the appreciation, the delight we take in a situation. And this idea there can be a kind of joy and well-being that when we get gets too self-preoccupied or more concerned with itself, that we lose touch with the very thing that we're appreciating. And so at least that's what my understanding, this term giddiness, that when it's used in English for us, it's a kind of bubbling up of joy that is self-preoccupying, self-concerned, or self-oriented. And that gets in the way of this boundless feeling of appreciation, joy, delight in the well-being and the good fortune of others. And so to begin, so one of the ways to have an entry point to this world of mudita is to begin appreciating, understanding, maybe shouldn't use the word appreciate, maybe so too much, understanding the what gets in the way and what's more complicated. And in doing so, it makes it much more realistic, and then we're careful not to override and jump over and do a spiritual bypass, and then for how we really are, but to really recognize who we are and recognize all our warts and all, they say, you know, all the shortcomings we have, all the challenges we have. And in spite of that, or with that, or because of our capacity to open to that, to be able to have a heart that's more open to experience the joy of the world, the pleasure of the world, the appreciation of all the helpers and all the goodness that's here, the success and good fortune of others. And that ability to open and open is really one of the primary parts of Buddhist practice. So if we can open really to our own suffering with this open heart, that very ability to open to that is the very openness that when we get up from our cushion, per se, and we encounter the beautiful things of the world, then we're just open to that now. And then there's sympathetic joy. Or if we encounter the suffering of the world, we open to that, but, and then we have compassion. And but we're not, because the doors are open, nothing sticks. As soon as something is stuck, part of the doors are closed. And so this open door policy of the heart, keep your doors open. And slowly over time, we can learn the tremendous value of these Brahma Viharas. And one of the great ones, really great ones, that can be nourishing, can be nurturing, can be inspiring, can really fuel even the practice of the Dharma, is this appreciative joy, to rejoice in the well-being of others. So for this next 24 hours, I'd encourage you to explore this more for yourself. And notice as you go through the day, your reactivity perhaps to whatever contact you have to goodness in the world or people celebrating or having success, and seeing if you can experience it with completely open doors of the heart, or whether you somehow resist it or close down or distance yourself from it. And with no judgments about yourself, hopefully, just get curious for one day. Become an explorer, a discoverer of the whole territory of your inner life having to do with real deep appreciation, joy, and lack of it for the success, well-being, and goodness that you experience in other people. And in the process, let's all of us become people who can benefit the world by appreciating what can be appreciated. Thank you very much.